Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs, and you're on Lost Arts Radio. Nice to be back again. And we have another treat for you tonight. This is our Sunday guest show. And a friend that I've been wanting to get on for a long time, Dr. Amanda Vollmer, is with us. And we're going to talk about whatever comes up. I don't want to constrain it to a certain topic or anything like that. I want us to relax and just like we're sitting around in the living room talking about whatever we think. And it's important during what's happening now to keep telling the truth and keep talking as if we're not being censored. And we're going to do that. We're on a lot of platforms, video and audio, and those will vary depending on who kicks us off, but stay in touch at lostartsradio.com. You'll get rooted into the right place. Amanda is a naturopathic doctor, but calls herself a holistic professional holistic practitioner. I think I got that right from the website, with a lot of prior interest in botanical medicine and energetic healing and Reiki and homeopathy. And she's basically a teacher and a private consultant and has an amazing website, yummy.doctor, which we'll talk about later. A lot of free educational material that's very valuable. I've been absorbing it today and prior to. But the main thing, I think, her main qualification in my mind is not the degrees or the specific things of studying. It's the attitude and the consciousness and the questioning everything. And that leads you to finding out whatever you're meant to learn from. And that ends up leading you toward wisdom. And when I recognize somebody who's already done that and is in the middle of it and it's never going to stop, that just makes me feel really hopeful for humanity, even though we're walking around hypnotized right now. We don't have to stay that way. And everything we talk about is kind of an aspect of that whole issue of waking up. So sorry for the long introduction, but really happy you're here, Amanda. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Richard, for having me and having an open forum for these very important conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that this whole, you know, pandemic has brought that to the forefront, because the conversation got louder as a result, and it needed to get louder.
Yeah. So if you were going to introduce yourself, what's important to you? Who, if somebody said, Amanda, who are you? Dr. Vollmer, who are you? What level do you want to answer that on?
Well, I'm a living being in a meat suit here, an eternal being, like we all are.
Exactly.
Having experiences and learning and growing and sharing and walking my path as clear and as best as I'm able to, in service to life and God.
Yes.
Yeah. Why I'm here.
That's a perfect answer, of course. And the meat suit, what I found out, you know, I spent time in India like you did and studying with various masters and, you know, combination of physical stuff and meditation and spiritual quest and things like that. And I noticed that a lot of them in certain masters' traditions were really denigrating the suit. And I found out later that, wait a minute, this is a reflection of a higher frequency that happens to be visible as physical matter, which we know is mostly space and vibration. And I found out it's capable of communication, and that if you want guidance on the things that it knows about, it can talk to you. And it's been trying to do that since before we were born. And that can be opened up, right? Because people are in such unique situations and background and long background that they've forgotten all about. It may not be a list of things that applies to everybody, right? You have to kind of wake up to that communication. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an elegant creation, and there's many layers to us. And I think that we've been dulled away from that knowledge, so that we're unaware of our power,
right,
and our abilities. And I think it's high time we return to that and remember who we are and how beautiful and elegant you know, our creation is, and what this world is, can do for whatever the main purpose is for all of existence. I mean, I get existential all the time.
Right.
But when you listen to the body, it speaks, and it will always tell you what's going on. And the more aware, self-aware you become, then the louder that voice inside gets, and you're able to tune in and solve the issues that are presented.
That's also contagious, right? Like
Absolutely.
A potential positive pandemic. Because I was looking at, you know, how do we fix this situation? And they have so many shows on the air now that are talking about how bad things are. And the accurate ones are right. But that's not an end in itself, just to say, this is horrible, and this is horrible, and this is horrible. And, you know, like, we're all doomed and everything's over. The intent is that we're all doomed, of course. It's a really coordinated global attack on all humanity and life, it seems to me. I think it's a suicide mission by the people at the top of it, that they don't intend for any of them to survive it physically either. And what I came to is that this is a ceremonial sacrifice, and that's why they don't do it suddenly. It has to follow protocols. And if they don't do that and give the announcements and the stuff they have to, they think they don't get the reward. And that buys us some time.
They're very religious, and ritualistic. And if you understand that, then you also know the set of rules follows spiritual laws, like free will, for example.
Right.
And that's why they coerce instead of just full on force. They have to get you to consent or to contract with them in order to sidestep a lot of the blowback they would receive.
Yeah. So they're getting really out in the open now. I mean, not completely, but things come up in court, you know, to get people exposed and all this kind of thing. And they don't care. I mean, not that they ever cared, but they're not careful of that very much. Their strategy is real simple. Just charge through anyway. And I think they're assuming that we're too far gone to get back the memory of who we are. Not in theory, but in experience. So it opens up the abilities that we've got.
Yeah, it's a death cult, you know, definitely. And we've seen, I mean, if you're aware, you see how obvious it is. And I think that's also why they're so blatant, because they know that you have to have eyes to see. And they'll make all the mistakes, and they'll expose what they're doing because they have to give some sort of consent.
Mm-hmm.
They can be sloppy with the ones that are dormant or sort of like the sleepwalkers, because
right.
They won't really see it. But we can see it, and it's so obvious. That's why there's such a divide. We're like, you can't see how obvious they're being.
And how would you describe the two visions of what's going on right now, what we're in the middle of? Hypnotized vision versus the awake vision.
Well, the hypnotized aspect would be, you know, they're linked to the television or the media as their source of reality, right?
Right.
So the stories that are being spun for them, they're in it like a soap opera. Their belief system is told to them, and they're not able to think clearly for themselves. They have to be, their thoughts have to be injected by the storyline.
Right.
So they're not really independent. They're kind of hive mind thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas those who are, you know, doing the work on themselves and always working towards conscious awareness, have our own thoughts and our own feelings about things. And we trust that. We trust our connection, our divine connection. We follow that above all else. So that's a real big difference, you know, where you listen to your body, you listen to the wisdom of the truth that comes through you, rather than all of the illusions in the Maya around us. And those who have awakened to that knowledge know those tricks pretty well.
Yeah.
And don't adhere to it, or are not easily hypnotized or brainwashed.
So it seems like now what we need to do in order to help the people who are really deeply hypnotized and ourselves at the same time, is take it further in our own awareness level, so that it goes from just understanding it to demonstrating the remedy. You know, not in complex things that we explain so much, but, you know, showing up and, all right, this is how we change physical reality, or how that original creative power can do it through us, not us as little ego, you know, mini gods or something, but let the real original source function through us.
Exactly.
And it's still the same permission thing. It's just who you give it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is a journey of the soul. And it's very convincing that for a lot of people that it's just some sort of black and white physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
But those who have peered beyond the veil know there's so much more to our existence and want to know. We're seekers of knowledge. We're seekers of truth. We want to do the right thing by our souls and by our connection to the all, and not be misled or be tripped up along the way. And that's more important than, you know, feeling like you fit in, for example, which I see a lot of people, especially here in Canada.
You do have to decide between those two things, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
But eventually, if you're willing to not fit in, you find the environment that you do fit into.
Yes, that's the bravery of it. You have to be willing to throw it all away. You have to be willing to surrender completely to it and not know the outcome ahead of time and be okay with that.
Yeah, because it looks like there's nothing when you first give that up.
Yeah, and that's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And that's really the definition of bravery.
You know, a lot of people are seeing what's being told, like you said, on the television and the newspapers and everything. And they're saying, all those people couldn't be lying. And a lot of them, I think, aren't consciously lying. They're just believing their higher up level, what they're being told to say, that they don't question it either. And you've got all these levels of hypnosis, and the people, a lot of the people that are acting out the bad guy role, and that's not sexist. The women are as bad as the men at that level. But they don't really, a lot of them don't understand. And they're just following orders, level after level. At the top, they do. But even at the top, if they really understood at a deep level, they'd never do it. Because everything has consequences.
There's a compartmentalization. That's been part of the design going for quite some time, where you have, I mean, even their own symbols of the pyramid, where you have, you only get to know certain things. You're on a need-to-know basis.
Right.
There's only certain people at the top that really know what's going on, and the rest are just order followers. They bank on that. They need people not to think for themselves in those structures. And they've done it with all kinds of institutions, including medicine. Right. Where you have all these specialists.
Yeah. That's taught even in non-medical school, in regular school. Mm-hmm. Your objective is to know a whole bunch about such a small field that you don't really have any idea of the context. So you're perfectly set up to be misused by the system without knowing it.
Right. Yeah.
So remember who was it? The information minister of the Third Reich, Goebbels, I think, said if you tell a big enough lie, nobody will question it because they can't believe that much could be false. I mean, you've got videos on your website about history that are saying the more you learn, it looks like everything we've learned has been not true. Almost. There are some exceptions. So when people are, you know, that are, we're talking to people on the show right now. Some of them are up to date on all this stuff and really understand. But I'd like to include the people who can't imagine, you know, that this would be going on. And what can you say to people that are kind of open to starting to understand, but, you know, it just looks impossible that this could all be that coordinated? What can you say?
Well, I was mentioning in an interview I did yesterday a little bit about this, where, you know, I almost applaud those people who are starting to wake up now, because I had decades to do it. Whereas it's a rush job for a lot of people now.
That's right.
And it can be extremely overwhelming, even in the long game and the slow method of investigation and research and the processing that it can take, you know, and the contemplation time that's needed and the integration time of the contemplation and how it fits into your philosophy and then what matters to you in your world, in your life. And how you can bring that forward, and then where your own limits are, where you can't go that far. Because I see people where they said, well, that's it. I won't go to the next echelon.
Emotional barrier, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the pain of betrayal is really hardwired and difficult to go through, because the emotional expression feels like an ego death. An ego death feels like a real death.
Right.
And a lot of people might be in those industries or in, you know, been part of it or being used or whatnot. And there's a lot of emotional aspects that are maybe too uncomfortable, or they feel like they would die if they actually could accept that or understand that.
Right. And yet that's keeping them away from what would help them. Right, what would ultimately make them feel all right? So, how do you deal with that barrier? How can they get past it?
Well, it always comes down to self-inquiry and self-reflection, and getting clear with your needs and what your goals are. Like, what do you know something's wrong and it's bothering you? You know, inside you feel something's not right. Maybe you can't put your finger on it. You know, there's a bunch of liars. I mean, everybody knows that politicians lie. That's a very simple, basic understanding. So if we know that, then where would be the next comfortable level to take it? You know, could be asking yourself questions. That's how you get out of any cult. You ask questions. So, you know, could it be that governments in the world in the past have harmed people, you know, their people, or lied to their people, or manipulated them. Right. We could look at Yugoslavia as an example, you know, and you could start to put the pieces together of your mind map of the questions inside you and just slowly start to answer them. But that means you have to turn off the television and you have to stop consuming the other story. And I always suggest to people who want to know, just first step is to clear it up and stop consuming the lies, and allow at least 2 weeks with no consumption of their stories. The turn off the soap operas. And what's interesting is when you do that and you kind of go back in to see, you'll notice the soap operas are the same dramas. You know, like you go back to soap opera after a year and you're like, you guys, they're still doing the same thing. There's no difference.
Yeah, same organ music and in the background and everything.
The same storyline even, and it's just different players. And so that's usually for people to start, is they have to make space inside of themselves to fill up with other information, and they can't just fill themselves with junk anymore.
Have you worked with people trying to detox from television?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, when people are confused, then I suggest they just stop and you know, if you're trying to heal the body, trying to heal the mind, trying to heal the emotions, you need to take yourself out of the situation and allow the muddy waters to settle so that you can see clearly through again and get grounded inside yourself again.
So isn't it interesting that initially these people are probably thinking, what can I do to change everybody else? If you really want to, it always comes back to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. What can you control? What can you manage?
And the fact that you're affecting everybody all the time too. So your state is really your main tool when it changed the world.
Yeah, you're a vibration, and you change that and you clear that, then it's a different reflection that because everything's in the mirror, because you can't see yourself as you are. You need reflections, you need mirrors to see, to have consciousness. And so all of the people in your life and around you are mirrors for you for lessons and all kinds of feedback, right?
So things aren't happening by mistake or chance.
No, I don't believe in luck or chance. I believe in destiny and design.
Yeah, that's what I found too. I don't think there's any such thing as chance anymore. Can't find it. You know, and if you take it a step further, it's like everything in your life that you experience is being tailored for what you need to learn. It's like somebody did it just personally for you, which actually seems to be the truth. And what about the stuff that people are worried about with the virus? Do you want to say anything about that? These terrible viruses that are coming out that are obviously designed to kill everybody, and the new variant is killing even more people, and the next variant's going to be even worse, and it just tears people into little bits and everything. And especially the anti-vaxxer people are spreading it everywhere. And I mean, I think that's what's being told now, right? I'm not necessarily in direct touch with it, but I think that's the story.
Well, yeah, when you want to create a genocide, then you have to divide the people, and you have to use fear as your tool, and you have to have something out of their control. So those who are the order followers will just default into their child mind and just obey, because if they do that, they feel like they're in control in some way, and they feel safer. So they'll just, it's a classic tool of a narcissist, you know, gaslight them, promise them things, move goalposts. They're all abuse tools.
And identify somebody as the problem too.
Well, that's the scapegoating. You always have to scapegoat. So if they just want to study how psychopaths manipulate their prey, it's textbook.
Right.
So that's pretty much the soap opera that's on television is that. And, but if you start to really learn and understand, it's actually all within your own control. Your behaviors and habits are what create your health or ill health. And that's up to you. It has nothing to do with anybody else. That's been manufactured because it's a very handy tool to manipulate people with. If they can't see it, or smell it, touch it, identify it, they have to default to quote unquote experts to know anything about the thing they're afraid of.
Yeah.
It's been used for hundreds of years to manipulate politics and people and make a lot of money as well. And that's just it's just a tool. It's a lie, and it's not based in science or evidence.
Have you noticed that a lot of the well-meaning high-level doctors that are very intelligent have a really hard time grasping the whole picture? You know, they'll see some of it, but they'll still go along with 90%, and the 10% that they don't agree with is doing some good. But I guess the programming is just really hard to break, right? After all the training.
Yeah, if they're just in their brain, head brain, and not in their gut brain or their heart brain, then they're not going to have their senses working for them properly. And they're going to miss huge amounts of information and context for what they think they know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with the compartmentalization, then they're just going to have little echo chambers inside of banking back their own false beliefs, and it'll ping right for them because their foundation is in error, but to them, the foundation is correct. So as long as the information comes back to the math works out for mm-hmm. their false foundation, then it's true in their minds.
One thing is they're trained that these associations and organizations like CDC and other ones like that are always reliable. Mm-hmm. They always tell the truth about everything. Just because they're called the Centers for Disease Creation does not mean that they're doing anything bad. And, you know, they say the virus has been not only isolated, but identified and analyzed. And, you know, the fact that it came from nature is already proven and all this stuff. And I don't want to make the whole thing technical, but I think a really clear central point of some of the doctors that don't get it and telling things to people is the misunderstanding of the process of isolation, right? To show that, because if you want to have a really good pandemic, you really need a virus that actually should exist. And the way you do that is by this isolation process, right? Otherwise, you don't have any evidence of it. So do you understand how the different fake and real isolation processes compare and what people are missing in that?
Well, all virus isolation processes are fake. There are no viruses. They're all manufactured in a petri dish, so or in a computer simulation, like in silico, like yeah. this one is, right?
Well, like so David Martin was talking about.
Yeah, well, the process by which they manufacture it is by stressing a cell. So you could take a healthy cell or a sick cell mm-hmm. and put it under stressors and create breakdown particles inside a sick cell and then filter that out and call it the cause of the sick cell.
Right,
that's what they're doing.
Right, right. So it's
but
just
they
like
made the cell sick in the first place.
Yeah. And it's just such basic deception that people are expecting something much more complex. It's actually really simple. The whole basis of the argument isn't there.
Mm-hmm. Truth is always simple. It just takes a long time to get there.
Yeah, it could be deep, but it's not really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the overall situation, do you agree that it's going step by step toward basically an extermination agenda at this point?
Well, there's multiple agendas, and that's what makes it complicated.
Mm-hmm.
For when they launched this, they knew that they were going to make a lot of messes and a lot of mud mm-hmm. and a lot of, you know, infighting and that sort of thing, which is by design to create order out of chaos. That's their motto.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many goals for this this scam, because the main one being their reset, their, you know, you can read Klaus Schwab's little book there on the Great Reset. If you want to know what they're doing. And years prior to that, you could see what they were planning with the UN Agenda 21 document, which, so if people want to know what's going on, just read those two documents and you'll figure out who these people are and what their long game is.
Yeah,
it's not very difficult. It's hard. It's easy to find on the internet. It's easy to read.
Right. Agenda 21 is actually made into a little book. I think mm-hmm. you can still buy it.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. It's easy to find. They have to be able to give disclosure if they're going to go ahead and do these things.
Right, by their own rules.
By their own rules. So it's just ignorance and fear and programming that keeps people away from understanding their enemy and what they have in store and their long-term plans. And they're broke, so they have to create the reset. They need to figure out their debt problem, their overspending problem, and they need to also push us into the fourth, whatever they're calling the fourth revolution, which is an AI-based mm-hmm. reality. You know, they mine us. They feed on us. We're their food ultimately. So we hold the power because they feed on our emotions and they feed on our labor. So they're not going to kill everybody because that, why would you kill all your slaves? You're going to preen your slaves and you're going to manipulate them to where you want them. But when you have robotics now coming in and doing a lot of the labor, you don't need quite so many. Also when you want to rewrite the history as they've done again and again, you have to get rid of the elders because they hold the knowledge, they hold the memories.
Right.
And they're really after the next generation, the young generations. They're not really interested in, I think it cuts off around the millennials. So we're kind of their useless eaters at this point, because we know what's going on, at least a good proportion of us. But it's the children that they're really after, that they want, and they're going to sell their metaverse and their virtual reality existence to them, continue to mine them just in a different dimension.
Yeah, because the younger kids that are growing up now have had a virtual reality existing their whole lives, right? They think it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you see as a remedy for the situation? If you were able to just say to what people should do to make a contribution to this not reaching its goal?
Well, it starts with not consenting on every level possible. So look at where you're contributing to the existing system, and where can you not, you know, contribute anymore? What makes sense for you in your life right now? Is it growing a garden so that your food supply is not coming through them? Is it getting off grid? You know, is it learning a new skill? Is it manufacturing something, you know, in a group? Was it beekeeping? What is it? So starting to become more, not just independent, there's that, but also you're learning how to be interdependent with those around you in your communities, and learning to trust one another and have those tight relationships. It doesn't have to be a ton of people.
Right.
It has to be the right ones for you, so that you're supported and your needs are met, and you don't put yourself into a crisis where you feel like you need a handout from a government.
Yeah, because those come with strings attached, right, of control.
Yeah.
Like the universal basic income idea, things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. The universal healthcare aspect as well, which is where I do a lot of my focus.
When you say universal healthcare, what are you referring to?
Well, they want to socialize. They'll try to socialize all of the medicine because they do it under the guise where, it's supposed to be free. It should be free, you know.
Exactly. Everything's free.
Right. So they're going to continue to try to push. I mean, here in Canada, we've had that for as long as I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's degraded considerably. But I don't attend it. But for people who need things, they're waiting for sometimes, you know, a half a year to see a specialist. It's going to tell them to suppress it with a cortisol drug or something.
Right.
Like that,
right.
You know? So yeah. I think that's really scary for a lot of people. They want those systems, for themselves, especially emergency systems, but we need to really design new systems for all those, needs.
So this theme keeps coming up about needing to build a parallel civilization, basically, before the old one totally crashes, if possible.
Yeah. How do any people survive communism or totalitarianism in their countries? The ones that survived prepared. They had food, they had water, they had soap, they had the things to survive, warmth and all of the running water and these things, right? So that obviously at this point for a lot of people needs to be top of mind. We just had like a really intense cold snap here. And it's, I think it was a wake up call for a lot of people. Cause if the power did go out during that cold snap, a lot of people wouldn't be here now. So, even people who burn wood, it wasn't even, you know, minus 35. It's just, it's, your pipes freeze up.
How far north are you?
Well, I'm just a couple hours north of Toronto.
Okay.
So it's considered cottage country.
That's far enough north to be really cold for sure.
Well, when they're manipulating the weather and they're messing around with things, then, you know, they can create weather warfare and see and stress their systems and see what it can take, you know?
Yeah. What do they call those new weather patterns where the cold comes way down from the pole and then back up?
Some sort of vortex.
Polar vortex. Yeah. That's a new invented phenomenon, I think, right?
Yeah, they always make up catchphrase names in cults.
Right. And then on TV, they say, wow, this is amazing. Nature is really changing. Mm-hmm. They brought one of those down to Texas last year.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. But they can do that with pulses. They have technology, which is, again, if people just did a little bit of basic research, see that.
Emotionally, it's really hard to say, what, the chemtrail people are not crazy? How could that possibly be? You know, and so you get the spraying working in tandem with the ground-based electromagnetic arrays and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they can change the climate, but they can mess up the weather.
Yeah, the climate is actually, you can make microclimates in your own backyard if you want to.
Right.
Just by changing the soil levels and what you plant, you can make microclimates all over the place.
Right.
Because it's a reflection of the ground and the cycles of water and sulfur and other, you know, and oxygen and so forth. So you can affect your own local weather ultimately.
So why do people need to know about more of the negative stuff that's happening? Because a lot of people, even some of the ones trying to be really spiritually centered, are saying, if you put your attention on that, you're feeding it and you're destabilizing yourself. And some of them really try to stay unaware of what's going on outside. What do you think about that?
Well, that's like a new age trap where it's everything's love and light and you can't handle your shadow.
Right.
But you have to acknowledge the shadow. You have to know what it is in order to change it. So you have to be able to notice a problem if you're going to fix a problem. You can't just say, oh, I'm sure there's a problem, but we don't have to talk about that problem.
It's kind of a test, right? Because you have to have the awareness and not let it drag you down.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to know that there's an issue, but then your focus becomes on how do we solve the issue and how do we change to make that not an issue now? How do we heal it? How do we make the correction? Not, oh my God, there's a problem. Oh my God, there's a problem. Oh my God, all day long. That's not the point of knowing when there's something amiss.
And as you change yourself, the people that are drawn to you and that you're connected to also change, right?
Well, all your reflections will change as you do.
I just bring that up because you mentioned connecting to people where you live and trying to establish the beginnings of a better community, of people oriented toward life instead of death. I mean, what's been your experience of trying to do that where you are?
Well, I just relocated. I'm between two properties.
Okay.
So I've met quite a few really passionate people and people with skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my inner circle people. So if I need an electrician or a plumber or some sort of skill, I have that. And then it's about the food growers and becoming a food grower.
Mm-hmm.
And establishing those connections. So there's a more a technical aspect, at least in my world, about that.
Right.
I have my close, my fiance and my close family for emotional support and, and those types of reflections. So you don't need a million people. You just need your closest to be clear and where you have agreements to support one another as best as possible.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. And how do you feel about the geographical area where you are? Is it a place that you think is good to be? I mean, what would you tell people wondering about living in that area?
Well, it's a long winter, so you have to be a little tougher.
Okay.
You know, you're chopping wood, carrying water. There's a lot of, you know, driving, or you have to, you know, there's a lot of living aspects that are a bit more challenging from time to time. But I always felt drawn to the shield and the crystals and the energy here for energetic protection. So I'm here for now. At some point, if I feel it's not safe or it's not the right place, then I'm sure I will get that signal inside my body to,
to go.
But I didn't. I got the signal to get land.
Okay.
And that's what I did.
I get the feeling that it's a very physically beautiful place.
It is.
And plenty of water. Lots of water.
Lots of water, lots of trees, lots of soil. Lots of peace, lots of quiet.
Right.
And you can go into the forest and just ground yourself and heal and feel calm. So
it's a real different energy than being in the city.
Oh, I couldn't handle the city. I left the city when I was pregnant because it got so heightened for me. I was out 7 months pregnant. I left.
Wow. That's good you got out. So what's your day like now, your work that you're focused on? What are you mostly doing?
Well, I've been in an expansion mode, and I really want to move my focus more towards the protocols and solutions, and helping people know how to help themselves so they feel a little more secure.
Right.
So they don't, you know, feel pulled to go into the medical cults. They know how to grow herbs or how to use things to solve health issues and do more writing, writing and teaching. I feel like moving toward there. I always love making and inventing and creating, but I could do that all day. So I'm sort of at this stage where I can make and create and perfect something, and then I'll just sell it off and somebody else can keep manufacturing it, and I'll just invent another thing and go like that.
The teaching that you're talking about, is that one-on-one or groups or classes or online, or how do you do it?
It'll be, I don't know yet because it's still being developed, but the one-on-one was not sustainable for me. I had to stop.
Right.
Because of burnout, but I think it'll be probably like little Zoom groups, maybe people with similar concerns, you know. I'll have protocols, and then I want to do little videos that explain and walk people through the protocols properly, you know, so they feel like I'm still there for them, you know, to help them through triaging their concerns and identifying, you know, which direction to go to, you know, through with something. But that seems to be how it'll be developing.
And it hasn't started yet in that form, right?
Some of the protocols really are being pulled together, and the website sort of structure has been designed.
Is it going to be different than the website you've got now?
No, it's going to be through yummy.doctor website.
Okay. It's just a lot of material is going to be added to it.
Correct.
New options and things like that.
Yes.
What about agriculture where you are? Is organic farming existing up there?
Yeah, more and more, you know, a lot of farmers are tired of, you know, the government's thumb. And so they're changing methods. in going direct to consumer. There's a lot more direct to consumer sales rather than through supermarkets and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay. They have to take care of the animals so they don't freeze up there, right, during the winter.
Yeah.
They all have heated barns and things like that.
Oh yeah. They, I mean, I'm not privy to their methods, but you know, absolutely, they have to consider all of the factors of nature when they when they do that.
I was also noticing on the site that you have now that you're talking about homeopathy, and how does that integrate into lifestyle change and the basic, you know, idea of how to get people healthy again so they feel good?
Well, they're great to have for all sorts of concerns, especially first aid. So it's great to have your own little book or homeopathic guide and learn just about some, start with like a handful of remedies, things for, say, you have a contusion or a bruise, you can use arnica to stop internal bleeding. That's kind of a massive thing. You know, someone hits their head, or a child or someone, you're not sure, you can always give homeopathic arnica to make sure there's no brain bleeds and things like this. And you know, indigestion or bowel issues, you know, very simple remedies that you can use at least to begin with, to solve a lot of issues that wouldn't fester if you were, using and employing those.
So you're not doing the one-on-one appointments. So what's the best way to spread the knowledge that you've got on homeopathy, do you think, that you're talking about now?
Well, I will probably do some courses, you know, on that. Okay. Yeah.
Then people can watch the website and sign up for those when they come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they're interested in that aspect of the teaching, they want to know what to have on hand for homeopathics, then that'll be available.
Right. And one of the main health concerns now is the ones that are arising from people getting the injection. Mm-hmm. Right. Have you been dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did one video on how to detox from the thing, as I call it.
The thing. You can stay on more platforms if you talk about the theme or the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's we're tiptoeing around verbiage because of censorship. So,
right.
Which should have people questioning. That alone should have people questioning, why can't you, we have conversations.
I think part of the challenge of remedies for the thing, from the damage of it, is that there's so many different things in it, that some of which are still unknown. Mm-hmm. But even the known ones, there's a wide variety. Right. There's the mRNA technology was the first thing. But then, you know, graphene oxide and hydroxide, and Carrie Made is seeing pictures of parasites.
Well, all of the vaccines have contained parasites. That's nothing new. They're all contaminated.
Natural and synthetic, both.
There's nothing natural about a vaccine. They're all full of metals. They're all contaminated from their cell lineages. They all contain mycotoxins. They all contain parasite eggs.
Right.
I've been yammering on about that for like 20 years, how toxic and infected, if you will, these things are.
And so many people, you know, that are recognizing what's happening with the current one are saying, but I'm not anti-vax or anything like that. You know, I believe in the science. It's just this one is really bad, and it's bad because it's not approved. And I try to remind them that they could approve it tomorrow. Doesn't make it any different.
Yeah, it's also not a traditional vaccine based on their ideologies. So their belief system of how it works isn't what this particular one is. It's a different mode of action. So technically, it's not really a vaccine by their definition.
Except they changed the definition, so that's okay now.
Well, they'll always do that. They always rename diseases so that it looks like they got rid of it. And
right. So when there's so many components to the current one, what do you do? I mean, there's going to be millions of people out of the billions that get it. that are thinking, well, maybe that wasn't a very good idea. And now I need to get cured or get this, you know, contamination out. With all those different elements of it, what kind of approach do you think is reasonable?
Well, first say good luck, because we don't know the repercussions, the long-term repercussions, other than there's three different kinds. There's the placebo, so hopefully you just got metals and formaldehyde and polysorbate and not anything else.
Right.
If you got the gene therapy, we don't know the repercussions on your RNA and DNA and the switches, the cellular switches.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have like a gene that was dormant, now switched on, that gives you Parkinson's or something.
Right.
So you don't know that. And then there's the third one, which is like the cancer in 10 years shot. Is that a guarantee or not? It depends on how you treat your lifestyle. There's not a guarantee, but at least you're going to always have to be on top of your detox game. Because if this shot damages your mechanisms so severely, because they're in their mind, if your mechanisms stop, that's a cure. So symptoms are your expressions of your mechanisms of healing. So they think those are bad. So if you stop the mechanisms that produce the symptoms, which is your body removing waste and healing, then they found the cure, quote unquote. So if they've done it real good, where you're not detoxing anymore, then you're just going to become a toxic waste dump inside your body until organs, you know, fail. So that means you always have to be detoxing after the shot.
So really the remedy doesn't change fundamentally depending on the problem, right? Because when you're understanding it from that point of view, you just go back to what's in nature, right? Detox and nutrition and sunlight and exercise and sleep. And I mean, I don't know what else you can really do other than all of those things.
Well, you can target your nutrition. So you can increase glutathione, you can increase magnesium, you can purge the liver, you can make sure the blood is clean.
Right.
Do blood cleansing, herbs, blood cleansing processes like coffee enemas.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of things that support glutathione, NAC, DMSO, MSM, you know. And the enemas, you can clean up the blood as much as you possibly can. And you do remake systems, you know, blood cells last 120 days. You know, there's a timeline of regeneration that you'd have to go through, but what a mess. You know, if you could have just said no, you wouldn't be in that situation. And we all have to detox on a regular basis anyway, because of all the other toxins that come in. Through lifestyle factors and them poisoning us through food, water, air, and the television and so forth. So it's just giving yourself a lot more work, and a lot of people may not have the fortitude to do what's required to get the job done. But I believe you can do it, then you can heal.
Exactly. And what about this guy that just got killed for talking about graphene hydroxide instead of graphene oxide? He must have been onto something important, because they wouldn't bother killing you right away if it wasn't the case.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I wasn't able, in my internal barometer had red flags coming up all over the place. So I
kind of, it might not be real, you mean?
It might not be real, or it might be they like to infiltrate, you know, our communities with a lot of fear. Like if you speak out or you say something, then you get killed and you know, these sorts of things. So that maybe people are shut up or change their tune. I'm very careful with anything that is dramatic and sensational, even in our own, you know, communities.
And it wouldn't change your protocols anyway. Right, for detox and all that.
No, borax or boron seems to denature the graphene as you know, a process, something that people can use.
Yeah, people have talked about laundry detergent, sodium tetraboride, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And saying that little bits of that are very useful for what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also a cure for arthritis for a lot of arthritis.
Yeah, I saw that. In fact, that was one of your great videos that really impressed me, that everybody should watch that. A lot of those things are so simple. Because if you don't hear about that and you get into the regular system, you could be into therapies that make things worse for the rest of your life.
Yeah, they suppress your expression. Your body is trying to always heal something. People say a symptom is bad. So, well, if you have pain and inflammation, something's going on in that area. The tissue is trying to repair. So instead of just suppressing the signal of it telling you that it needs repair, you could just actually help it repair.
Right. So what people call sickness, acute sickness, is a lot of times the body naturally trying to detox. That's what you're saying.
It's always the body trying to make a correction.
Right. You remember when they had, this was in Germany, I think, and there was some kind of a legal challenge that there was a reward offered to prove the existence of the measles virus.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could do it.
Mm-hmm. No, that was Dr. Stefan Lanka. And he lost the original case because the judge didn't understand. He was not intelligent enough to understand what was going on.
Right.
But it was because there was someone who tried to challenge him and get the money. But then he won, Lanka won in appeals.
And Lanka offered, what, $100,000 or something, if anybody could prove that it existed.
Correct. And it's still not satisfied.
Are you teaching people along with the detox about relationship with wireless technology and what to do with that too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, everything's going to wireless right now. You have to consciously go in the other direction, I think.
Yeah, or at least be aware of adaptation. And, you know, if you're going to be under constant damage of something, then you better be on top of your cleanup of the damage, right? You have to pick your battles and to what you're accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not acceptable, then those are your decisions. And if it's acceptable to a certain percentage, then you're like, well, what do I do now after the fact to clean it up or to try to prevent the damage as much as I can in the moment or whatever your strategy is.
Right. But you can certainly decrease or limit the wireless technology that you use in your own house.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Turn it off at night. Try to have everything wired as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Limit time that you're exposed to it. Now, the body's brilliant in its adaptation. It will make enzyme systems to adapt to it as best as possible. So you want to increase your nutrition, to support those systems. And you want to maybe shield yourself, from it. There's new tech coming, clothing and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Will dissipate.
Some of it seems to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And the tricky part is differentiating which ones are good, right?
Yeah, I actually did that work recently and I've decided to partner with a company. I just went through that last few days because I've been looking for something for my family, of course, for some time now, actually quite a few years. I've been looking at different tech.
Right.
And nothing really was satisfying me, or I didn't feel like it was the right thing. And I just finally found some clothing line that has the a silver mesh line to it. And the studies and the science seems very sound. And I'm just going to go through the process of testing it physically myself, because everything that I'm going to ever, promote or encourage people to use, I need to know for myself.
You want to actually know if it's good or not.
Yes. So once I test it, then I'll talk about it.
A little bit too early at this point, I guess.
Yeah, because I want to run it through my own internal and external processing.
How are you going to test it?
Well, I have some EMF readers, I just want to repeat their experiments and make sure they're not manipulated or something.
So, so when you say EMF reader, what does that mean?
Just there's readers that you can buy that measure the certain measure the EMFs.
Yeah, and they start beeping if it gets really high.
Yeah.
Would you put a sensor like inside a sleeve of clothes or something like that with a source on the outside and see what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, I have like a little wireless box I was going to use that has pretty high reading through the clothes and then see what comes through it. This tech is supposed to basically dissipate the wireless and kind of make it fall, just make it drop.
Okay.
So it doesn't impact. It doesn't come in. As long as it's on your physical body, it doesn't go through that. So it might go, you might get it, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
Where there's no clothing, but it wouldn't go where the clothing was. So at least you could, if you were pregnant, you could protect your belly.
Right.
You could protect your gonads. You could protect your head. You know, you could protect
your body. I've seen people with hoods of, you know, basically Faraday cage type clothing over their head.
Yeah. It acts like a Faraday cage. Exactly.
Neat. So a few weeks, maybe you'll know whether that's good.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not sure exact date, but I will talk about it because I'm concerned, very concerned about that. And I think if you've read Arthur Furstenberg's The Invisible Rainbow, you know, there's a lot of science and evidence that shows that every time they've upgraded the EMF fields, percentage of people can't adapt and will die or get very sick. And the rest will eventually adapt and then they'll do it again and do it again sort of thing. But it still affects and degrades our DNA that can lead to disease states and cancers and things. So
it's just most visible when nobody's adapted, I guess, right?
It's most obvious, and more acute when it's first initiated. And I think part of this COVID scandal is them testing their 5G systems. And actually, really, it's more of a weapon than anything else, as I see it.
Yeah.
And have their cover story for what it is instead of what they're doing. Because they always, again, they need their scapegoats when they're doing these things.
Right. Because in the beginning, what got people really scared about the pandemic was people were just walking along the street in Wuhan and they would fall over on their face and bleed just on the spur of the moment. Mm-hmm. And they announced that as a new virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be at the same time as they turned on the 5G there.
Yeah, I think they tested their weapons systems and their 5G there in that small town in Italy. But they also had a lot of incinerator pollution and other stuff. I did early videos on that saying like these areas already were mask wearing protesters for air pollution problems long before. So, you know, it's a good place. You're already kind of a population that's weak. Then you can see how the percentage of people that will become ill from the 5G test. And then I think some of those people that fell down or whatever might have been just, you know, staged as well. So
just good actors. Really,
yeah. Yeah. We can't trust it all. Of course.
Do you think, I mean, there seems to be some degree of sickness that people are getting that makes it so they have this syndrome where the lungs work fine, but they can't get any oxygen. You know what?
Yeah, that's
what do you think that's coming from?
Well, if you know how the 5G tends to affect oxygen, is
it changes the skin or something, right?
Right. So you can't utilize the oxygen. So you have access to it, but you're not utilizing it. So that would give a respiratory issue or a blood level issue without a real physical cause for why that would happen. And that can lead to all kinds of blood disorders and respiratory issues. And then people go, I can't breathe. And that sort of story came out of that. And then they go in for oxygen. And then when you force oxygen, then in the body, that has another feedback loop of a repercussion. So then it starts to downplay oxygen usage because it's too much oxygen. Uh-huh. And then the oxygen sat will drop again. And then they'll go, oops, we're going to have to put you on a respirator now because the oxygen's not working anymore, and then they get lots of money for respirators, and then 90% of them on the respirators die. So
It's amazing. That same, you know, idea that there's this delicate feedback loop that the body is monitoring the levels of everything all the time. that could apply to all kinds of drug and hormone therapies too.
Everything has feedback loops.
Yeah. So one of your great videos, what I thought was about HCQ and ivermectin, because you were saying instead of that, even though as drugs, those are not as harmful as a lot of other drugs and they don't kill you like a ventilator does. But if you can do no harm and use things that have no downside, that's closest to real medicine, right?
Well, you only want to ever suppress if you're desperate. Like, you don't want to suppress anything because that leads to later poorer outcomes. So they get away with using their heroic medicine,
right,
which is suppressive, because it gives the appearance that they're better. But in the long run, there's a payout that has to come later.
Right.
And they never make the association with the suppression in the moment and, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the road with a kidney failure or another issue or a blood clot or whatnot. And they think it's an unrelated concern, but it was really because they never dealt with the issue in the first place.
Properly. A brilliant design, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine that creates more problems.
Yes, they're customers for life when you keep doing that.
Yeah, I think in the parallel civilization that's being created now, the new healthcare practitioners need to make a living by, I guess, doctor is supposed to mean teacher anyway, right? Docere. So they should be able to make the money they need without hurting people.
Yeah, absolutely. It should never be about harm. It's first do no harm. That's your baseline Hippocratic oath that every practitioner has to speak aloud.
So you know the protocol that Dr. Zelenko is using for the people with these respiratory issues is not primarily hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. It's using quercetin and some other things. At least those come from nature, right?
Yeah, quercetin's from apple peels, that sort of thing. And it's I usually direct people of allergies because it's a histamine support. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's basic, you know, natural compounds that you can use to assist the feedback loops properly so that you're not in distress. So usually you apply things, if you have an acute approach, you support it a little bit differently at the outset, and then you do the long game afterward where you support the terrain and the removal of waste appropriately and that sort of thing. So they get people out of emergency states or fear states, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you can use
that histamine supports a little bit like that.
So the only things that would still, like you said, suppression in emergencies, not just with disease, but with traumatic injury, things like that.
Yeah, if you're bleeding out, you're going to suppress the bleed.
You know? Right.
If you're in severe pain and you can't get over it, you're going to have to suppress the pain to function or to figure out what's happening.
You know,
there's reasons for suppression that are legitimate.
Have you looked at what Dr. Circus has done with, what's it called, natural allopathic medicine or something? It's substituting for the toxic drugs, things like bicarbonate and magnesium and all these different things, even in the emergency room.
Yes, that needs to happen more and more.
We need new kinds of medical schools, right?
Yes, we need the proper eMERGE care, which we've already known a lot of these life-saving nutrients could be right in emergency where you triage them appropriately, and you could even have a general protocol that includes magnesium and DMSO or these sorts of things. So you could get things under control. Even homeopathy you could have in your eMERGE to get people grounded in what's happening, get the information you need. And if you had to do something that was suppressive, as long as you have in your protocol, okay, we did some damage with the suppression to get this under control. Now we're going to double back and we're going to fix that too.
Right. With the goal of becoming unnecessary, right? For a real doctor.
Always.
So I guess to wrap up what we're talking about, if you want to tell people, I guess two categories I'd really like you to talk to. One is the people who are worried about the coming intended, at least, enforcement of these suppressive measures and injections and stuff like that. And the other group is the ones that are realizing they already did it and it might not be a good idea, and they're trying to get better, and they're being told by a lot of the popular leaders on the internet that, you know, forget it, you're lost and there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be a bit discouraging.
Yeah.
It could become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, we want to make sure the mind is as empowered as possible in all those situations.
Right.
And that miracles can happen. So that's not off the table.
Right.
But for those who are concerned about mandates and things, mandates aren't laws. And
right.
They've never been able to hold mandates for long periods of time. So really, it's about buying yourself time, saying no where you can, mm-hmm. speak out to say no actively, and never give consent. And they're saying the things that they're saying and trying to push them hard because they're hoping people break and just do it so that the majority of the population is taken the mark of the beast or whatever.
Right.
So they're trying to get, it won't work. They can't get the Great Reset. They can't get the passport system and the social credit system. So they need as many people as possible, or else it can't work, because then they can't get rid of cash and they can't change over the businesses. You see, that's why they're also trying to get rid of as many businesses as possible.
Right.
So, you know, only, and their big box stores, and they'll mandate it. They need the QR code to be in. Don't shop there. Just don't support it as much as you can. And know that you have to give free will in order for them to have to do it. And so just if they put it in, it'll be overturned. It has to be overturned because they've tried this in the past and it doesn't last more than a year because it's completely against your fundamental rights, your birthrights and everything.
Right,
and just needs to be challenged in a proper court and it's over. So that's for those mandates. And then for people who have taken it, you know, just admit you were duped. You know, mm-hmm. and your anger and your upset needs to go to the correct party,
yeah.
not to those of us who've been screaming from the rooftops about the scam the whole time.
Right.
And then use your righteous anger to fight back and to get on board and get on side to protect your children and protect yourself from further damage, because they're not going to stop with the boosters. They're going to just keep doing
it. No, it's going to be one a month after a while.
Every 3 months is, I think, where they're, but that's not even sustainable. Even some of the companies are like, you want us to keep pushing out all of these boosters and, you know, you want us to manufacture all these tests and manufacture these things. They've had a glut of manufacturing, you see, for years. Where do you think all these tests came and all this stuff? You think rapid tests to just whip that up overnight?
Right.
That stuff's been made and in the wings for a long time because this has been planned. So they're going to run out of stuff and they're going to have to figure out something else of their manufacturing issue at some point. So we will have, you know, open periods where we can, you know, have an advantage, and we have to look for those windows,
right?
And use them.
And you mentioned the test. I wanted to, you know, let you rest for a while, but I have to mention this one more thing and get your feedback on it. If people understood the test, that would be the end of the whole thing, right? Because the PCR test, which is still being used after it's been officially admitted to be no good by even CDC, still being used everywhere. And the guy that invented it, who was very open and honest about it, Kerry Mullis, before he died, said, it's not a test. You can't diagnose anything with it. You can find anything in anybody. And it's basically a high-tech magnifying glass. So that if you have one atom of something or one molecule in a tissue, you can blow it up so it's really easy to work with. That's all it does. I mean, it's hard for people to grasp that, but I want to know if you agree with that or any insights on that. And the other thing is what people are now trusting, because it's the latest thing, the RAT test, rapid antigen testing. I mean, first of all, even if it was a real test, which PCR is not, you have to have a standard of what you're looking for. So a sample of it, right? Otherwise, it's all made up.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your view of both of those levels of testing?
Well, they're both based on the same fraud. They're looking for a piece of nucleic acid, but it's endemic to you, and it's just based on your state of detoxification and waste.
Right.
So they're trying to find something inside of you and say that you now have a virus, but it's really just your own proteinaceous wastes and nucleic acid wastes that they're searching, and there's no proper benchmark, as you said. So it's a circular argument. It goes nowhere. It's an illusion. It's not science.
They're all non-tests, really.
And they're all techniques. They're not tests.
Right.
So
psychological.
Well, the technique of amplifying a piece of your own nucleic acid material and then somehow declaring you have a disease is an illusion.
Right.
And then claiming that people have diseases when they don't have symptoms is also an illusion that I'm very surprised humanity fell for. That one took me by surprise. I didn't think that many people were that intellectually challenged that they think that when they report on the news cases, that somehow people who are sick, when it could just be somebody who had this fake test given, they're perfectly fine with no symptoms, and now somehow they're a carrier, and that someone without symptoms can give a disease to somebody else. To me, that is a mind control trauma and a psychological damage on our children that is very alarming, to make children think that just by kissing grandma or hugging someone, they're going to kill them.
Right.
Is a travesty and should have been stopped long ago. And I was very surprised with that one. That
it just sounds really scientific. It has 8 syllables. Asymptomatic carrier. It must be something incredible, right?
Yeah. It's now I know in a cult they have all kinds of explain aways, right? They explain it away. Oh, well, you could just have been. It's only low in you, right? You could have been exposed, but you don't have symptoms yet.
Right.
Because it takes 14 days or 10 days or now 5 days or whatever. Incubation period. So now but what has to happen is if you have no symptoms and you test positive by their standards, what they should be doing is following up and saying, did you actually get the symptoms in 10 days, 5 days, 14 days, whatever? Did you get that? And if you said no, they go, oh, then that was wrong. We're going to make sure we correct our numbers. But they're not doing any of that, of course.
Right.
So it's all just fluffing numbers, making numbers look big, and going from somehow this an idea of a pandemic to now it's cases. Which that was a sleight of hand that nobody else seemed to notice, which I was very surprised about as well. Like,
you were surprised that people fell for it?
Well, I was surprised that the sleight of hand, there were very few people that went, wait a second, you know, we were talking about pandemic here, guys. We were talking about the epidemiology part. Now we're not. We're talking about like this. You know, Betty over here got it and this dude got it. So now we're case by case and now somehow, but that's not what makes a pandemic. So by their terms, there should be no emergency measures anymore. Those should have been gone long ago once they switched to cases.
It's also good to have an adjustable test. So according to what you're trying to prove, you can get whatever you want. For example, when Joe Biden got elected president, I mean, if you actually think that he did. Joe Biden got elected president, the cases immediately fell. So he was doing a lot of great work within a couple of days.
Yeah, well, you know, this is all a game. So they select their presidents. They've selected the numbers. They can put whatever they want on the screen. There's no justification.
Yeah.
But people just swallow it and that's all. They're on to their next video game or whatever else they're doing. And they don't even consider that it's 100% lies, the whole thing.
No, these are authority figures. You have to believe that they're telling the truth.
Well, they're too fragile in their consciousness to realize they're being played and they're walking down a dangerous path. And they would rather fear this thing that they think they have control over through following orders than the real fear of what's really going on and the death that awaits them for real from following the orders.
What do you tell them if they're really terrified and wearing a mask and putting the masks on the kids too?
Well, most of those people avoid me. So okay. There's not really much I can say to, if they're wearing a mask, there's nothing, I walk away. Right. I mean, I've never put a mask on myself ever in this whole scandal, and I never will. And yeah. I've had some rude people come up to me, you know, and demand that I have to, and I will fight back, and I'll get my claws out if I have to. But I will never, ever, ever comply with the cult, because that's a symbol of submission. That's all that is. And I will never submit. And
it also makes you look more the same as everybody else. So you can't see facial expression and stuff like that.
It's a tragedy. And when I see a child or a baby, I try to make eye contact with them and smile, because they're going to lose their emotional affect by not seeing faces on a regular basis. And the damage to our children is going to be incalculable.
I know. They could become really scared of people who don't have a mask on too.
Not even that, just their emotional development will not proceed properly. So they will be atonal in their emotional affect, and they will not be able to love deeply. They will not be able to understand facial emotional cues. So they will have social retardation from not seeing faces on a regular day-to-day basis.
And there's also no scientific evidence that masks prevent any kind of diseases, right?
Of course not. First of all, that's not even how contagion works. Never mind this whole, there's no particle exchange contagion. We've already disproven that through scientific studies. You can't take snot from someone or spit on someone and they get your sickness. It doesn't work like
No, the experiment doesn't work.
No. So there's no science that would ever support mask wearing. Well, the shock to me is that people think that suffocating themselves and rebreathing their carbon dioxide is somehow acceptable on any level, when we even know in hospitals, there's very strict rules about how long you're supposed to wear a mask for. Once you touch a mask, it's contaminated, it's garbage. These people are fiddling with their masks all day long and having snot-filled masks and having lipstick-filled masks. And this is not sanitary at all. I actually was at the grocery store on my way here, and I'm still the only one and my daughter without masks in every time we go shopping.
Wow.
It's still. And
that's in a small town near where you live, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I went down an aisle with a handful of people, and there was a mother and maybe her teenage son. And the odor from this boy was so disgusting. It was probably one of the worst smells I've ever smelled in my life. And it'll probably take me days to get the memory of that smell. I have a very keen sense of smell.
Do you think this was connected to the mask?
No, but you know, my comment was, I almost want one just so I can't smell that guy.
That's one of the few cases where they'd be useful, right?
But my alarm was, here we are supposedly in this thing to them, right?
Right, right.
And this is the most unhygienic teenager I've ever smelled. He probably hasn't washed his clothes in a month. He's probably festering in a room full of garbage.
Right.
And he's probably shit himself or something, because his stench was so vulgar.
Wow.
You know, unwashed hair, unwashed body, but wearing a mask. Like, how does that make any sense at all, if you're thinking that this is some sort of germ? Because that guy's full of it. If he's full of germs, that one.
Yeah, because they're doing their job to break down garbage, right? So they're attracted to that location.
Yeah, I'm saddened for humanity that they're being gaslit and hazed so badly to this point, where 2 years in, they're still obeying things that make no sense.
Yeah.
And I really pray for them a lot. As mad as I used to be extremely angry at them, because I was trying to shake some sense into them. But now I really feel sorry for them. And I pray more than I ever have for them, because that must be so terrible to live like that.
And the prayer changes the frequency, you know, and it reaches people that can't be reached. So it's probably helping on some level. The other thing you mentioned, the contagion. And sometimes people ask about that. How did the measles parties work?
They didn't.
Well, I went to one and I got it.
Yeah. Well, were you told, hey, if you go rub up against little Johnny and you're going to get measles, we want you to get measles because it's good for you. So I hope you get measles. So imagine your parent.
I'm sure I was told that. Yeah.
Right. Bending down to you and encouraging you to get it. And if you get it, you're a good boy or you're a good girl.
That's
right there. Right there, you've been imprinted with you better get it. So your body's going to start to already believe that you should get it.
Just like you can be hypnotized and get a blister from a burn that didn't happen and stuff like that.
Absolute suggestion through the mind. The mind creates actual chemicals. The chemicals go through the body as a cascade. You can tell yourself whether to be healthy or sick in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, through German New Medicine, this is true. So I think a lot of it was a placebo suggestion that it took. But you wouldn't get 100% infection rate.
Right.
So you'd have to have that. If everybody got exposed, they all should get it. But that's not the case. We don't see that with these parties.
There were brave doctors that back up what you're saying about infection, not just now with Kaufman and Cowan and people like that. But before, there was a doctor named Wilner. You remember him?
Yes.
And he said, well, there's no such thing as AIDS virus. And the establishment said, what? You know, we probably have to kill you in any way for your own good, but you're completely crazy. So he gave all these talks and he would bring a diagnosed AIDS patient with him and he'd get blood from both of their hands.
He injected himself with it.
Rub them together 200 times. So I guess they had to kill him for that. But he was really, you know, supporting what you're saying that, you know, what was the whole AIDS thing? It seems to be that they found people with lifestyles that ran down their immune system and then diagnosed them with a new disease and then made a drug that would continue the disease and make it deadly.
Exactly. Just like they're doing now, because then they give the vaccines or the drugs, and they become sick. And then they say it's the disease, just like they're saying there's Omicron, there's all this stuff. No,
it's not. Exactly. And it could be an unvaxxed person was around too.
No, it's the people who have sickness from the shots. Now they're saying they have it. I've seen it all over my feed. People go, oh, I'm double vaccinated and I got Omicron still somehow. It's like, no, you got nothing. What you got was poisoned. And now your body's trying to get rid of it. It triggered the same mechanisms of, you know, respiratory detox.
Right.
Because you gave yourself a process inside your body that uses those elimination routes.
Yeah.
And now you're saying it's some freaking variant. It's pathological psychosis that people think that
they can't
make a connection between a self-poisoning and a symptom. It's
safe and effective. Right. And all the other variant names are ready to go. I know, you know, and they're hoping to get to use many of them, but, have you had people talk to you about what do they call it, transfection or something like that? When you're around people that have got a lot of vaccines, some of the doctors have been telling me, some of the really well-known good ones have been saying, I worked on a patient hands-on and got really sick, and it was right after they were vaccinated.
I know of many people personally who've been very unwell being around the vaccinated. But think about it. Think about what's been done to those people, how poisoned they are.
Right.
And the body is an alarm system. If they've been poisoned to that degree, then it must create routes of elimination immediately. It'll come out through the skin, through the breath, gases. Everything will start to be pushed out. If you touch them or you're close to them, then you could absorb some of those toxins and your body could go into a process as well. So think of it more like poison and being exposed to poison. And then if you touch or contact poison, then you could also go through a detox of said poison. But also there's more to it because they seem to be more radioactive, almost like a chemo style drug or radiotherapy. So there's, because part of this injection is related to the 5G system grid network. They have to be pingable by the 5G system, hence the graphene. So now we have another whole thing where they're also EMF receivers and their fields are messed up. So now imagine your field is connected to somebody else's field who's really messed up and is resonating, reverberating everybody's cell phone signals and stuff. You could get radiation sickness from being just in proximity with them. And I've seen a lot of people experiences experience bleeding issues, which are symptoms of EMF poisoning, from being around them. And I'm concerned as well for my own daughter, because she came back from visiting her asleep grandparents who are, you know, bought into this hoax, hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
And they recently had got their booster when she visited for Christmas. And I'd never seen a nosebleed in a girl like that in my life.
Wow.
And she bled through her mouth and her nose, both sides.
Wow.
And incredible clots. And I was concerned. I had to do a lot of triage to make sure she didn't faint from blood loss and all this stuff. We, of course, got everything under control, but it was very eye-opening for me.
Yeah, because she's not coming from a real poisoned environment. She's in good shape, and she is still experiencing that. Yeah. That's a concern, because, you know, you don't want to have to separate everybody, but it kind of pushes you in that direction, right?
I've been in a huge conundrum inside my philosophy and my I don't want to cut off more family. I've already lost plenty of family over all of this.
Right.
And, you know, my daughter's mental health, emotional health, and connection to her family is very important to me. And
absolutely,
so
yeah.
I've tried over the years to wake them, and there's just no waking them.
In theory, if you keep her in good enough shape, she should be able to resist most of that. But what
I have
the
to
demonstration,
like put her, I have to like prep her, put her into the line of fire, bring her out, detox her. Like, it's a lot of work just for her to go see the ignorant grandparents. And I say that with love, actually.
It's not their fault.
But I don't know how else. I've tried so many approaches now. I think my only other approach, and I think what worsens the nose part, this part, is them forcing her to wear masks to go in stores and things. And I've said that very adamantly, to not mask her ever.
And you mean she's staying with them or something?
Yes. And they have been doing it against my wishes. So I think my only sort of thing I can bring is respectfully ask them yet again to please, you know, if they go into a store, to not mask her and just say she's exempt and leave it at that.
And ask them if they will go along with that.
And ask them directly to please accept that this is important and there's rationale and reason for it.
Right.
And but it's hard, because their belief system is there's something floating through there that's going to kill them, right?
They're just actually taking care of her.
But it's warped, and they're doing the exact opposite. So I have to try to really protect my daughter.
Wow.
It's a very tough situation to be in, ultimately.
Are you homeschooling her?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Good. Because that's the biggest dangers to kids now. Some of them are doctors and schools.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they'll go behind your back. They're terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because just like you're saying, they think they're helping.
That's right. The do-gooders are the ones that are causing the most damage. And that's going to be the hardest for them. Those ones who realize that's
you mean later when they figure out that it wasn't really like
you imagine
that.
You think you're doing good and you think you're helping people and you're working so hard at it. And then,
and then
you come to a realization that you've maybe played a hand in their death or their destruction.
Exactly.
That's a very hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a lot of people going through that.
Exactly. Wow. Mm-hmm. And the only remedy I can see is, you know, just fully acknowledge it and say, I really didn't know, and I'm going to do all the good I can possibly do. Not that it makes it unimportant what happened, but it's the best you can do in the present.
It's all you can do. You made a mistake. You own it. You apologize, and you try to make amends. That's what we teach our children. They make a mistake, right?
That's right. You don't keep beating yourself up for the rest of your life.
That's right. But there'll be a lot of people who are going to need support mentally and emotionally.
Absolutely. Which means we need to work on ourselves and be strong enough to do that.
Right? Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to keep you over time. And I would like to support what you're doing as much as we can. And so if you feel like it, when you get your new programs going and you want to tell people and it's available online and stuff like that, it'd be fun to, you know, share that with you if you want to.
Sounds great.
So hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here. Okay, you guys, I hope you got a lot out of that. That was Dr. Amanda Vollmer from Canada. And her website is full of material that even before she starts the new stuff that she was talking about, I've gone through a lot of her stuff. She has many interesting videos on her site. And, you know, she was talking about how little we know about the things that have been changed. And so much of what we're told is not exactly true, to put it mildly. And she's got three interesting videos up near the top of the video list on her site under yummy.doctor. That's the site URL. And then if you go to videos tab in the site, the first three, or close to the first three up there, are about hidden history. And they're really interesting. I had time to watch, I guess, like one and a half or a little more of them. I would recommend them. They're really good. They ask more questions than they give answers. They're not really trying to give answers, but they bring up really fascinating stuff, like what happened with the World's Fairs in London and Philadelphia and Chicago. And, you know, they had these incredible buildings that they put up that looked like they would have taken 10 years for some advanced consciousness crew and architect to construct. And then they just tore them down right away, most of them. It's not just health information that's being hidden. It's all kinds of stuff. And a lot of it is what our real history is. So those are interesting. And then she's got other things on the reality of viruses and why people get sick, and home remedies for all kinds of different things. It's the point is, it's valuable material. And right now, when we're overwhelmed with so much and we don't know what to look at, you know, because it's a priority issue, a lot of her stuff is very valuable. And apparently, as she said, she's about to put up all kinds of new stuff, classes and things that would be good to watch for. So stay in touch with their site, yummy, Y-U-M-M-Y, doctor. Great site. And that way we'll be able to keep up to date with what she's doing. It should be super interesting and valuable. I just appreciate any doctors or other people that are telling the truth when it's not an easy thing to do and they get all kinds of threats. And she's the kind of person we want to really give a lot of support and encouragement to. Other than that, stay in touch with us at lostartsradio.com, as always. And if we disappear from certain platforms, we'll be appearing on other ones. And we're on a bunch of them right now, all of which have links. So if you go to lostartsradio.com/live, L-I-V-E, it'll show you how to get most of the platforms and shows and what's coming up and things like that. Help us share the links. That would be really nice of you if you want to do that, because we're up against a lot of shadow banning and other kinds of resistance and censorship. And if you have resources and you want to help us stay on the air and actually do some of the projects that have been on hold for years, we'd really appreciate that too. You can go to lostartsradio.com, and then there's a donate button on that page. And there's also a subscribe star link that you can find. They both work fine. And the main message, as always, is take care of and appreciate yourself. It's the most generous thing you can do for the world, because as your physical health and your awareness of what's going on and your consciousness, which is self-awareness, get deeper, you can help make massive change to what's going on in the world. And that's really the reason we're taking the time to do any of this stuff, is awareness of what's going on and for the purpose of how do you change it, and then implement it, do it. And I really literally think that you're the star of this movie, and it is a movie, that the one they call Real Life, you know, that looks solid. It's not, on a very deep level, it's a movie. And you're holding the projector. And so the whole project is get in touch with that projector. It's a reason for getting your physical health back is it makes it a lot easier to do the inner consciousness work. And then if you want to go deeper into it and you're ready to do some serious work with consciousness itself, as well as the forbidden health information, check out planetaryhealingclub.com. We'll meet you there live once a week and talk about subjects that are relevant to what we can do with our physical bodies to get them functioning normally or close to normally again, and all kinds of things related to what's going on in the world and consciousness work. And it's live every week. Doug and I are there every time, and we can talk about anything. It's a secure, non-censored environment. So I'm inviting you there if you want to come. Any questions, address them. Doug and I can both be reached on the website, and you can use the contact form, or Doug@LostArtsRadio.com or Richard@LostArtsRadio.com. And we read all the comments and we'll answer as quickly as possible. So that's the main message. And don't underestimate your own importance. It's massive. It's limitless, unless you believe you're limited. So find those beliefs and delete them. All kinds of things are still possible. It's not too late. So thanks for being here. You're appreciated. And look forward to seeing you next time. Have a good night.